The hour of the time may be contacted at HOT. That's H-O-T-T, P.O. Box 940, Eager, spelled E-A-G-A-R, in the state of Arizona, 85925. Our phone number is 928-333-2942. And our website is www.hourofthetime.com.
Full of rubbish, a great container full of rubbish from a very great height, at which point smoke appeared everywhere as though a mist had suddenly settled on the building. We all screamed out, some people running, some people crying, nobody really screaming. Across the road, and you look up, and you can see the top of one of the towers, smoke billowing out from it.
18 minutes later, the second plane was guided into the center's South Tower, already a terrorist exploit without parallel, of uniquely murderous intent and clearly well planned.
I was just standing here watching the World Trade Center after the first plane hit. I just saw a second plane come in from the south and hit the South Tower halfway between the bottom and the top of the tower. It's got to be a terrorist attack.
We started walking down the stairs. We made it to the 8th floor. Big explosion. Blew us back into the 8th floor. And I turned to Hesh. I said, this is it. We're dead. We're not going to make it out of here. I took a fire extinguisher and I bust the window out. That's when this gentleman here heard my cries for help.
And this was only the beginning. Within the hour in Washington, D.C., the capital, a third hijacked airliner is crashed into the Pentagon, the very heart of this superpower's military establishment, a symbolic target par excellence. Thus was America humbled. 24,000 people work in the Pentagon. All survivors had to be evacuated. In New York City, just a few moments later, the BBC's Stephen Evans was telling his tale.
People were just standing around, talking to them, nodding their heads.
It was a tale of the unexpected. The Trade Center's South Tower, much weakened, collapsed as he spoke, showering rubble into the streets below. 50,000 people work in this vast complex. Nobody yet knows the death toll. The scene was one of chaos. The world was already watching on live television. And reports were now coming in of a fourth airliner crashing in Pennsylvania. A passenger using his mobile phone had called desperately to say, "We're being hijacked. We're being hijacked." And back in New York, survivors in the Trade Center's second tower, seeing what had just happened to the first, began seriously to panic. Some waved, some jumped to almost certain death.
And there was smoke everywhere. People were jumping out the windows. Over there, they're jumping out the windows, I guess, because they're trying to see themselves. I don't know. And I don't know. Everybody just doesn't know where to go. They won't let... Everything is blocked off. You can't even... They're telling us to get out, but there's nowhere to go.
Manhattan and Washington shut down. America closed all its airports. And world leaders began to react.
There have been most terrible, shocking events taking place in the United States of America within the last hour or so, including two hijacked planes being flown deliberately into the World Trade Center. I'm afraid we can only imagine the terror and the carnage there, and the many, many innocent people that will have lost their lives.
Manhattan was in turmoil. New York's go-go mayor, Rudolph Giuliani, was soon on the spot. The damage he saw was epic, and he spoke of a tremendous number of lives lost.
The number of casualties will be more than any of us can bear, ultimately. And I don't think we want to speculate on the number of casualties. The effort now has to be to save as many people as possible. And I don't think we will know the answer to that until sometime tomorrow or the next
day. Were there large numbers of firefighters?
We don't know how many we've lost. But there's no doubt we've lost some firefighters and police officers.
And no wonder, while firefighters and policemen were doing their utmost to cope with the collapse of the Trade Center's first tower to rescue people trapped inside, the second tower, mortally wounded by its hijacked airliner, also crumbled to dust. Were shell shocked.
What happened, man? Big boom. Come down the steps. Everything fine. So we got to the basement and everything just fell in. I got trapped from there where another guy crawled out. Kept getting hit in the head. Hit his bags falling around. Finally, we fought our way out over the rubble.
Yeah.
Come on,
you
did all right.
All right, where's the Thomas?
A picture of devastation and a terrible reminder of how vulnerable in today's world of terrorism and suicide bombers its dominant power has proved to be. President Bush's expensive dream of a Star Wars missile defense scheme would have been powerless today. Heaven knows what the toll of death and injury will prove to be.
Let's speak first of all to Elaine Showalter, who's originally from New Jersey, living here now, but you have family in New York. What went through your mind seeing those pictures again?
Well, it's been a terrifying day that will live in infamy. And I think the worst of it was when it was happening, the very beginning. I was on Oxford Street and trying to think about how long it was going to go on when the reports were coming in, and you couldn't be sure whether there would be attacks in Chicago, Seattle, Pittsburgh, the rest of the country. But I think that Americans recover from these things incredibly fast, and that even by this time the recovery has begun.
You were contacting family and friends in New York as well?
Yes, mostly by the internet, which is a big help because all the telephone lines are tied up, but we had email and everybody called back and forth, and messages are coming in, and people are beginning to post all kinds of messages on the net of help and support.
Let's speak to Richard Pearl, who was close to President George Bush Jr., but also was Assistant Secretary of Defense under Ronald Reagan. Mr. Pearl, people have been talking about this today as an act of war. Is that how you see it?
Clearly it's an act of war, both in terms of its magnitude and its purpose. Behind these acts of terror are the states that support terrorism, the states that provide the recruitment, the organization, the sanctuary, the planning, the training, the logistics, the money. This could not happen without state support and state sponsorship, and the United States must now do something it has been reluctant to do, and that is hold the states accountable that permit this kind of terrorism to take place.
Stephen Simon, you are a former member of the U.S. National Security Council. On the point about how this could happen, a lot of people have been saying it ought to be impossible for four planes to be hijacked simultaneously in the USA.
Well, it's obviously not. Smuggling weapons onto airplanes in the United States is not an impossible feat. There are a huge number of travelers. They're shoved through hubs that are extremely crowded. It's very difficult under these circumstances for poorly paid and in some cases poorly motivated security personnel to detect every bit of contraband that somebody's trying to smuggle onto an airplane.
But would you ever have thought four simultaneous hijacks were possible?
Well, I never would have thought anybody would have attempted it. But clearly you have a group here that is highly motivated, very determined to do this, very well organized, enjoys excellent communications, and probably has some practice.
Ehud Barak is also here, the former Israeli Prime Minister. What did you think, Mr. Barak, watching those pictures again?
I'm not sure that I understood the question.
What was your reaction to what we've just seen?
It's a clear act of war. I believe that Premier Tony Blair put it correctly. It's a time for action, not for just interviews, and a time for action by the whole world community, coordinating a concerted effort on the level of diplomatic economy, but more than anything else, intelligence and operations to launch a full-scale struggle against world terror. It is all our Western civilization is now under attack. No way to ignore it. We know the names of these rogue countries. We know the names of the organizations. The intelligence community know to tell us where they are deployed, and it is a time for action, even if it's going to be a very tough and painful and maybe a struggle that will stretch over a few years.
Were you at all surprised?
I'm back. Well, folks, Doyle brought me an Italian sub sandwich from Arby's, which may not be the best food in the world, but I got to tell you, I have had no breakfast and no lunch, and I was starved. He also brought me a huge Coke and some French fries, and while that may not be the most healthy food in the world, when you're starving, it sure is good. And I got to tell you, I wouldn't have made it if he hadn't brought me something to eat for the rest of the afternoon and evening. Well, you heard the news from BBC, and it certainly was a different viewpoint than the news that you hear normally on the communist news networks in this country. So, like before, the phones are open, 520-333-4578. 520-333-4578. We're interested in your comments, observations. You may have some news to report that we don't know anything about. And if you do, we want to hear from you. And no matter what we're doing or what we're broadcasting, as soon as the phone rings, we will put you directly on the air.
Right now, I sat through a lot of stressful times, but I think they pale in comparison to this kind of attack on the United States in such a dramatic way, and having to leave all their buildings and get relocated. But I also believe that 24 or 48 hours from now, you're going to see people back in their offices. You're going to see the normal functionings of government. You're going to see.
Good afternoon. You're on the air.
Hi, Bill. How you doing?
Good.
This is Jim from New Jersey.
Or I should say, as good as can be expected.
I have a somewhat different slant on this. I am absolutely outraged at the way the media is treating this.
Good for you, so am I.
We have two of the biggest buildings in the world that were deliberately destroyed by terrorists, and they're just treating it like the big story of the day. If you notice one thing they don't do, they do not interview anybody who is outraged. It was screaming for blood. All they're doing, I just got done watching the ABC News affiliate. They have tips for how to talk to your child about this.
Well, I don't know about the rest of the networks, but CNN is not guilty of that. They've been taking calls. They haven't censored them. One woman called in and told everybody in the country that if you see somebody with a green flag on their porch, you're supposed to go and blow them up.
Amen.
What do you mean, amen?
what they're doing is, you know, we live in a video world. Watching this is, you know, just like playing a video game. Oh, well, it, you know, blew up. My wife's company was on the 90th to the 91st floor.
They have trivialized the whole thing, and they're reporting it as if it's a normal, everyday occurrence, and it doesn't mean anything. I guarantee you at least 10,000 people died in the collapse of just those two buildings.
Yes, you're putting into words what I'm too frustrated to describe. It's almost like we had Hurricane Floyd, or we had a tornado. I'm screaming at my TV set. I mean, these people are absolute. They're automatons.
Yeah, they are, and they don't show any. Here's what really bugs me. They don't show any emotional involvement whatsoever.
You're absolutely right.
They don't care. They're just sitting in their chair doing their job. They're not affected. It doesn't bother them. They're not emotionally upset. They haven't expressed any kind of anything that I would consider proper for humans to exhibit in the face of such a thing.
They have no patriotic identity. And if you notice, our people are all over the world in over 100 different countries, our troops. And if they do go ahead and declare martial law, which they probably want to do, who are they going to bring in to do it when they run out of National Guardsmen? UN peacekeepers?
Well, of course. Have you ever read the Geneva Convention?
Yes.
You know what it says?
That the UN has the final authority.
No. It says that if any of the signatory countries are experiencing internal unrest, that all of the other signatory countries are
right.
obligated to provide military forces to put down that unrest.
Right, yeah, it's been a few years, it's coming back to me. I'm just totally outraged, Bill, that, you know, we call ourselves Americans, and even the people I work with, we had some auditors in today, and my boss was all worried about them. I said, do you know your country was just attacked, and you're worried about going in here and counting units? I just absolutely cannot fathom that people think it's another news story. The sheep have not only had their country stolen in the past 3 decades, they're now having it blown up right under their noses, and they don't even give a damn.
This is a product of years of indoctrination by television and Hollywood. How many buildings do you see blown up every time you go to the movie? How many people do you see destroyed? How many people do you see murdered? How many people do you see maimed? How many people do you see just blown away all the time on television and in the theaters, in the movies? So after you've witnessed this hundreds and hundreds and thousands and thousands of times, after a while it doesn't mean anything.
And how many references did you see to the movie Independence Day?
When?
In the news, they kept bringing up that movie Independence Day. When? They blew up the Pentagon or whatever.
When?
Or what? When were the references made?
Yeah.
Oh, I heard them this morning several times.
What was the reference to Independence Day? What's that got to do with the World Trade Center bombings or the Pentagon?
I guess they considered it in the same realm that you have Hollywood showing special effects blowing up the Pentagon and the White House. It's like, yo, people, this is real. This is happening today.
But I still don't understand what that has to do with the movie Independence Day.
I think it's just the fact that they kept bringing up that scene in the movie where it was destroyed, you know, almost trivializing it, comparing what happened today to something Hollywood produced.
I missed that completely. I didn't see it. And you're right. If that's what they did, that's exactly what they were doing, trivializing
real,
it.
Real people died in that building. Real Americans died.
Mm-hmm.
This is not a war over in the Middle East. They came to our soil.
Now wait a minute. Back off with that crap. Who came to our soil? You don't know who did this.
Well, I guess I just have my suspicions, Bill.
You still don't know who did it. Maybe I have a suspicion that you did it. Maybe we ought to bomb you. How about that? Just because I got a suspicion that it was you. How about that?
Well,
is that fair?
No, that's
is
not
it
fair,
right?
Bill.
Then stop it right now. Who the hell do you think you are? God, I can't stand it. Who the hell do you all think you are? Who the hell are you? You're not anybody I know. This is not the America I grew up in. Who the hell are you?
In all American interests and to embrace the struggle against Israel.
This oppression, this atheism, which is overwhelming the land of Islam, cannot be destroyed by anything other than jihad, other than bullets, other than martyrdom operations.
It does strike me that it has to be somebody who's got the resources, financial resources, the will, the organization. And a lot of things point to him or to somebody like him, and very likely him. And I think that it's an extraordinary operation. They have managed, for instance, to evade detection through normal means of communication. It doesn't seem to have been picked up. Extraordinarily sophisticated, long-term planning.
In a recent interview, Bin Laden threatened further attacks on American interests. There were suggestions, too, that he was being bankrolled by Iraq. A TV reporter was shown his desert training camp in Afghanistan and told that the Al-Qaeda organization had thousands of supporters under arms. One of Bin Laden's lieutenants even spoke about drills for responses to American strikes on this base.
Earlier this year, in January, there was a very high threat announcement passed to American embassies and military establishments around the world. Last year, an American commission, a presidential commission on the terrorist threat, visited London, including senators and security experts. And I recall very clearly, they told me, these people hate America, hate what America stands for, and seek to destroy us. So I don't think the actual attack would have been a surprise to American policymakers. The nature of the attack is the big surprise.
After the bombing of its embassies in Africa, America responded swiftly with cruise missile strikes against targets in Sudan and Afghanistan. If the Bin Laden organization is indeed publicly blamed in the coming days, a whole range of diplomatic and military options could come into play against Afghanistan and Bin Laden's followers.
Mark Urban reporting, and Mark joins us now. It seems there may be a missile attack on Afghanistan at this moment, is that right?
Indeed, those options may already be coming into play. There are reporters in Afghanistan tonight reporting that the capital of Afghanistan, Kabul, is under missile attack. It's not clear yet. The Pentagon haven't confirmed whether indeed those are American missiles, but clearly this is the presumption of many people on the ground.
And that would start to look like a reprisal based on the speculation that we've seen about Mr. Bin Laden.
Well, it clearly would show a firm conviction on the part of the American security establishment that he was responsible.
If there is an attack on Kabul, folks, it can only be coming from the United States of America. I guarantee you that. And it will be because either the United States government believes that Afghanistan and our Osama bin Laden, aided by Afghanistan, is responsible for the attacks in this country. None of us know who's responsible yet. Nobody has told us. Nobody has proven it. Nobody has been tried in court. Nobody's been convicted. All I can tell you is my prediction is coming true. We have now attacked the first country that allows terrorist cells and groups to exist within their borders, and I think there will be more.
Long overdue step, quite apart from his culpability for this crime, or these crimes, I should say, this day of crimes, he is an enemy of this country. He has unleashed attacks against American citizens and property in the past, and there's no doubt whether he did today's events or not, he would be up to it in the future, and he should be stopped. And those who are making common cause with him, who are sponsoring him, who are protecting him, who are permitting him to train in their countries, or otherwise making possible the kinds of sophisticated attacks he certainly has perpetrated in the past, should also be punished.
Richard Pearl, do you believe that there is a strong case for, if this is what it is, a missile attack on Afghanistan based on what's happened today?
Well, indeed. The fact is that bin Laden is permitted by the authorities in Afghanistan to operate from their territory. And I hope and believe that the United States will now adopt a policy of taking action in response to terrorist attacks against countries that facilitate and support terrorism, against countries like Iraq and Iran and Syria and Sudan and others, because until they pay a price for the support they give to terrorism, they will continue to enable acts of terror on this scale, and we must find a better way to cope with it than the policy of chasing down the individual terrorists.
Lord David Hannah, you're a British ambassador to the UN. How does a country like the US strike back against terrorists unless it does it like this?
Well, this may be one way of doing it, if you identify very clearly who the origin of the attack is. An act of war has been performed against you and you have a right of retaliation. But there's a much wider international coalition that you've got to put together against terrorism, just as the former Prime Minister of Israel was saying. You've got to muster as wide as possible an international coalition. And you've got
now, let me ask you something else, ladies and gentlemen. If the United States government and all of its intelligence agencies had no warning, didn't know that these attacks were going to occur, or who was going to mount these attacks against us, and there are no survivors from the attackers, the people in these planes who actually made these attacks. If there are no survivors, how do they know who did it? How do they determine that they should bomb Afghanistan or anybody else? 520-333-4578. If you have the answer to that question, I would sure like to know it. 520-333-4578. Nobody knew these attacks were going to occur. Nobody knew that anybody was going to do this. Nobody survived from the teams that made the attacks. Why are we bombing Afghanistan if, and I'm asking if because I don't know for sure that we're doing it, if we are in fact doing it? And who are we bombing? The people who planned it, who carried it out, or innocent civilians who live in the city of Kabul? Good afternoon, you're on the air.
How do they know that the planes were hijacked?
Because this is what they tell us. They tell us that some of the passengers or crew members made calls on their cell phones and said that the planes had been hijacked.
I heard that.
Also, the planes took off from airports with passengers on board, bound for a certain destination, and changed course to the place where they crashed into their targets, which indicates that they would have been hijacked.
Do you know that you're not allowed to make cell phone calls on the plane?
I'm not allowed to do a lot of things that I do every single day. And that's not true because airplanes have cell phones on board that you can make calls from.
Well, they're not cell phones. They're different.
It doesn't matter. You can still make a call from them. A lot of airplanes have one of those phones in the back of every seat, so every passenger can
hear. Yeah, but those don't interfere with the navigation.
Who cares about interfering with the navigation? You asked me how they knew the planes were hijacked. Passengers on board made phone calls.
And what did they report?
They reported that they were on a plane that had been hijacked.
And what does that mean?
Goodbye. Where did he come from? What do you mean, what does that mean? Either a crew member or a passenger aboard a plane made a phone call to somebody to report that they were on a plane that had been hijacked. What the hell do you think it means, dummy? Where do these people come from? Who is that guy? Please, dear Lord, protect me from the idiots of the world. 520-333-4578 is what does that mean? Oh, I've got to slow down and relax because the repercussions of my recent stroke are now affecting my tongue and my jaw, and it's getting very hard to pronounce words. So I'm going to take a little break. We're going to go back to the mainstream media and see what's going on. I will return any time that you call. I will break in and answer your phone call. Good afternoon, you're on the air.
Good afternoon.
Hello?
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 Hello, is this?
I've said good afternoon. I've also said hello twice. Now, do you want to
talk? Sorry?
Do you want to talk?
I'm having a real hard time hearing you. What?
Well, goodbye. I can't do anything about your phone connection, folks. There's nothing I can do about that. Get a better phone is all I can tell you. 520-333-4578 is the number. If you call, I'm going to answer the phone. If you're there and you want to talk, then please do. But I can't play games with you. If you can't hear me, I don't know what to tell you. Get a better phone connection, something. But we can't play those games with the telephone stuff. Okay? If I say good afternoon, you're on the air, then you're on the air. Saying hello over and over and over and over and over again won't cut the mustard. Okay, folks, please try to do some cooperation. And if you call in and you can't hear me, then hang up and try another phone. Good afternoon, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, William Cooper?
Yes.
Howdy, my name's Dave Mitchell. I can't help but, it's very terrible what's happened today, of course. There were some things that you had mentioned in some past conversations with some other individuals that had struck, let me turn down this thing, that it struck me as, when you had mentioned the idea that maybe the terrorists or whoever they were had infiltrated the airline by smuggling weapons on board at point of entry.
How else could they get on an aircraft and enforce their will upon the crew?
Sure. Well, the thought occurred to me that that employees of the airline could have actually planted the weapons on board these planes in advance of today's attack.
That's pretty hard to do because not just passengers are searched, but airline employees are searched, and the aircraft themselves are searched before anybody's allowed to get on board. And for four planes to be able to pull this off is an incredible feat in light of the actual security that exists in all of our airports today.
Exactly, and that's the point I'm making. For four flights to actually be used as a guided missile. And obviously under an organized and obviously planned attack such as this, certainly couldn't be executed by individuals haphazardly attempting to simply board a flight.
No, not at all.
Armed and chance having their plans thwarted.
It's a very complicated plan. The people who carried it out were well trained. They knew exactly what they were doing. Not only did they know what they were doing, but they knew the exact a course to fly the plane to hit their target.
Sure.
They were well trained. Everything was coordinated almost, within a few minutes of each other.
Certainly.
And it took a lot of money, lot of effort, a lot of planning, and a lot of time to make this actually happen.
Right. That's why it leads me to believe that possibly guns had actually been planted on the planes in advance.
Well, you may be right, but that's conjecture, and none of us can say. And I don't like conjecture anyway, because conjecture is, it's just a bunch of people sitting around. And if we had 100 people call in, we'd have 100 different conjectures. And what does that mean?
At this point, it really is all conjecture at this point, true. But who knows? But really, the situation that's occurring here, I'm really speechless. It's bringing tears to my eyes every time I think about it. But again, I'm speechless. I don't know what to say about the whole situation, other than pray for everyone and all their families that have been hurt.
Well, you're not alone.
It's really despicable, though, that what I'm hearing about as your conversations continue with other individuals to call in actually having their coworkers or seeing but people working that really have no conscience or second thought about what's occurring here.
It's kind of disturbing that our public has been so desensitized.
Anybody who watches television all the time and goes to the movie regularly is desensitized. None of this means anything to any of them.
Yeah.
Period. And that's the truth.
Right.
If you go out and walk around town tonight, you'll see people who are oblivious to the whole doesn't mean a thing to them.
Now, what you had mentioned earlier about the buildings not being able or not actually
they are
susceptible to...
They're engineered and built intentionally to withstand crashes into the buildings by major commercial airline airplanes.
Right, right. So it really doesn't make a whole lot of sense how in the world these buildings actually imploded upon themselves, because, I mean, my gosh, if you've watched these demolition crews at work, you see how they go to work and how they strategically place all of the explosives so that building does fall down,
And these planes did not hit any of the main structural members at the lower levels the buildings. They hit at the upper quarter of the buildings, and, of course, it would affect the structural integrity of those floors, but you'll notice that the structural integrity of the buildings were so sound that where the airplanes actually crashed into the building did not cause the upper levels to collapse into that floor.
Exactly.
So how would it cause the entire building to collapse?
It really doesn't make a whole lot of sense at this point, does it?
It not only doesn't make a lot of sense, it's absolutely impossible. The way buildings are designed, engineered, and built, they are built to withstand, because they know from past history that airplanes run into these high skyscraper buildings.
Well, sure.
And
sure.
So it's engineered into the buildings to withstand the crash of a modern airliner.
Well, yeah, and as they launch this investigation, I would certainly hope, but of course this is probably beyond realism, but I would certainly hope that they the investigation would start at home as far as what has actually occurred. But
well, they're already short-circuiting that. Have you noticed that Mayor Giuliani and Governor Pataki of New York State are replacing all of the emergency workers with National Guard troops?
Uh-huh.
And who's better qualified to be on the scene and to work and rescue people and treat people, the National Guard or the fire department, police department, EMTs, medics, and people like that?
Right, right. Couldn't agree with you more.
So what's the purpose of replacing them with the National Guard?
To circumvent any realistic investigation as far as what happened.
Not only that, but to maintain silence, because National Guard members are under military orders and they don't have the protection of the Constitution.
Uh-huh, right.
Once they're activated, they come under the Uniform Code of Military Justice, which says if you're given a direct order to keep your mouth shut, you better do it or we can lock you up forever.
Yep, yep. Certainly don't need any stories spun about any ATF or CIA involvement.
Or discovery of secondary explosions in the building that may not have blown up like they did in Oklahoma City.
Mm-hmm.
And then later denied that they found, although there are hundreds of witnesses that all saw and heard and watched them remove secondary explosives of a military type from the Alfred P. Muir Federal Building.
And certainly, and right after that happened, immediately after that building exploded, the media coverage was somewhat uncensored at the time. And a lot of information was leaked out as to what had really had taken place, along the lines of, you know, as well as like the John Doe's.
Yeah.
And
then when the government took over, the media
watched it.
Reports stabilized and presented only one official explanation and never talked about any of those other things ever again.
Yeah, and of course they certainly cleaned up the wreckage in a heartbeat as well.
They didn't clean it up. They completely destroyed it.
Yeah,
They destroyed all evidence, all refuge. Every remnant of the building was demolished, picked up, carried to a site, buried under the ground so you couldn't even get to it if you wanted to. And then they put a fence around it, which says United States government property, keep out. If you go into this place, you're subject to so many years of prison and $10,000 fine and so on and so forth.
And then, of course, the blame is directed at private militias.
Mm-hmm. That's what happened.
That happened back when Hitler was in power over there in Germany. He pulled the same thing and
but also there,
on the private militia.
There's no such thing as a private militia.
Right.
Period. The militia consists of the whole of the people, all of us. There's no private militia. Private militia is not a militia, is unlawful, and actually constitutes a gang. So I reject your private militia.
I understand. So I've been watching things on your site and keeping up to date on occurrences and things like that. You seem to be very perceptive and intuitive as far as what what's actually happening in the world today. What do you think or expect to come of this as time progresses?
The death of freedom.
Yeah.
Death of freedom.
That's a pretty tough cookie to swallow, but I think you're right.
Most people will have no difficulty swallowing that pill.
Well, yeah.
They will not only welcome it, but if you've been listening to CNN, CBS, ABC, NBC, MSNBC, they take calls from people, and people are already asking for it.
Well, the best slave you can have is a slave that doesn't know they're a slave, first of all. Secondly, when you are indoctrinated through our school, government-controlled school system, of course, you aren't enlightened to the freedoms that you are supposed to have guaranteed by the Constitution, but... As time has progressed, we've seen these liberties that are entitled to us whittled down to virtually nothing. And on top of that, if people don't know what freedoms they have, then they're certainly not going to miss them when they're gone.
That's right. Absolutely correct.
Well, I really appreciate your time, Bill. And it's been a very great pleasure meeting you. I'll keep in tune and keep listening. In my heart, I just would like to say my heart goes out to everyone and all their families that have been affected by this, indirectly or directly. You would think that it would affect everyone of our nation, but unfortunately, there's a lot of people out there that just don't register.
They don't get it. Thank you for calling.
Well, got to pray for them, too.
Thanks for calling. Pray for everybody, folks, please. Please include all of these people. I've heard so many people call in and say, my heart goes out to all of the family members of these people who died today. Let me sort of straighten that out. My heart goes out to all the people who died, who were wounded, who remained or injured, and all of the family members, friends, and relatives, and co-workers and acquaintances of all of those people who are going to be affected by this. And I would ask that we all of us, fervently, I mean fervently and repeatedly, pray for these people and pray for our nation, please, because we need those prayers. And if you have a couple of extra seconds, say a prayer for me, because I need it too. And I always, every night, say a prayer for all of you. So it's reciprocated. Whether you do for me or not, I always do for you every single night. And sometimes during the day, believe it or not. So 520-333-4578 is the number. And anytime you call, we will go directly to your phone call, no matter what we have on the air at that time.
Mr. Barr, do you want to say something about
that? What happened today just added to the need to have at least a theater and maybe trans-regional missile defense system against rogue countries like Iraq and Iran.
It wouldn't have helped today.
It wouldn't have helped, but this event emphasized that there are certain countries in the world, North Korea, Iraq, Iran, maybe Gaddafi, maybe one or more else, that are ready to shred the world order by using whatever they have. And without a missile defense that can at least cover 1,500 miles, about the distance from Tehran to Central...
Good afternoon, you're on the air.
Phil.
Yes.
I just wanted you to know, I don't know if you heard, that there's explosions and bombs going off in Afghanistan right now.
Yeah, we've already talked about that.
Oh, okay.
But that's rumor that's been put out on the news. There's been no official announcement by the government or anyone else. And in fact...
CNN's showing scenes from Kabul right now.
They are.
Yeah, burning.
Okay. Okay, thank you for that input. Appreciate it, folks. If you find out something that we're not airing, give us a clue. We're not monitoring CNN, we're monitoring C-SPAN, so we don't know what's happening on these other networks. When you call in, when I ask you questions, when I'm looking for verification, don't get angry because you know that we don't air rumor on this broadcast, so I'm going to ask you how you know. And where you found out about it, and so that we know whether or not your report is legitimate or not. And I have to do that. If it upsets you, I'm sorry, but I have to do that. I have to know if you're, you know, a scam artist just calling in, telling some lie or spreading some rumor or reading off a fax machine, or if you actually saw it on the news and which news you saw it on, and so on and so forth. Good afternoon, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Mr. Cooper.
Yes. Hello?
Tony from Cleveland, Ohio.
Hi, Tony.
I'm talking real loud. I can barely hear you, but just as long as you can hear me, that's what counts.
I can hear you fine.
Good. Here in Cleveland, they seem to have the downtown area pretty much closed off. There is... I can't say a real big emergency the way that the mayor described it. He says, I'm not declaring a martial law or anything of that sort. He says, but I'm going to keep the downtown area clear. Nobody's basically allowed down here unless you have...
That is martial law, my friend. See, he has no authority to do anything like that unless he suspends... the normal law, and the normal law says citizens have the freedom to move wherever they want to move. If he restricts their movement, he has, in effect, declared martial law.
Well, yes, I have to agree with that. I have to concur with what you're saying. And the way he put it forth, it's that he was telling the residents here in Cleveland that, is pretty much stay in your house. Don't go anywhere. And matter of fact, the Cleveland Public Schools are closed tomorrow. The all the Catholic schools are closed tomorrow. The government buildings downtown were all closed up. The state offices were closed up. The governor, Governor Taft, was on TV giving his condolences to everybody involved, directly involved, the ones that were killed. He wanted us to give support to Red Cross. Commendable things that all Americans should be doing right now, offering prayers for our country as well as those Americans who are lost. They have been pointing fingers. I have the TV on right now, Channel 8 here in Cleveland, and they're showing that I can't even pronounce this guy's name, I'm so ticked off. But they're implicating him. Some folks at work today were all irate.
Are you talking about Osama bin Laden?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
And some folks at work today were irate. They said, well, we should go over there and bomb them. I said, well, you don't know they are the ones responsible.
Now, how do any of these people know who did it?
Well, where we are at work.
How does the government know who did it if they didn't know that it was coming, or who planned it, or that it was going to happen, and nobody survived amongst the attackers?
Exactly. Well, I guess you might say it's another form of mind control through the idiot box, where they put these little bits and pieces of misinformation out there that gets the wheels in the heads of the people moving around.
Well, we don't even know if it's misinformation. Osama bin Laden may be responsible.
Well, maybe
one of the people that's responding. There might be a lot of people responding. But the fact that I'm trying to get across is that nobody knows that.
Yes. Yes, that's exactly right.
And if Osama bin Laden is the one who did it, why are they bombing innocent civilians, men, women, and children, in the capital city of Afghanistan?
Well, that's a good question.
Yeah, it is, especially after they condemned whoever did this in this country for killing innocent civilians, men, women, and children.
Of course, it doesn't
apply to us, does it? We can do whatever we want. We can go over there and bomb anybody we want. We can kill innocent men, women, and children who didn't have anything to do about it, didn't know anything about it, didn't care about it, would never in their wildest dreams have ever done such a thing. But if it's true that we're bombing the capital city of Kabul, that's exactly what we're doing. We are murdering men, women, and children who had nothing to do with this attack.
Well, that's correct, and
even if they're,
I mean, gee, look what they did in Bosnia, for God's sakes, over there where they bombed churches and killed women and children, and set a precedence where they can go into a sovereign nation, irregardless whether or not it was communist or not. That man Milosevic was elected by those people, and if they wanted to stop a genocide of sort, like the Clinton administration claimed, then why in God's name did they go to Africa, where they had thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people being butchered and murdered?
Millions of people. We're talking Rwanda. How come they allowed the genocide to occur in Rwanda, where millions of people were murdered, and instead we go to Bosnia and bomb that whole country? Because some people are, you know, supposedly being displaced from their homes.
You know, another interesting thing is I haven't, there's a lot of interesting things, but when the mayor gave his announcement, and I'm taping all this stuff, like our forefathers said, for posterity, you know, history, but when I watched this mayor, as well as the governor, and as well as a news clip that I had seen earlier this morning on CNN of our president, I didn't see any great emotion in these people.
No.
I mean, to the extent that, hey, you attacked us, whoever this was, and I didn't see the way I would be. I would probably be pounding the podium, and I probably wouldn't be overly irate to the point where I look like a madman, but I would be justified in my...
They claim that this is their professional demeanor. But I say this, whether they're professional or not, whether this is their occupation and their profession or not, whether it's the way they make their living or not, you cannot help but be affected by this, and you couldn't help but say some of the things that I've said and other people have said during their broadcast that makes you a human being and connects you with the terrible tragedy that has happened to all these. But these people, you watch them, and it's like they're reporting that, you know, last Sunday there was a Girl Scout picnic in Central Park.
Yes, this is what I'm referring to. I understand what you're saying about the professional of their office and so on and so forth and how to act properly, but in this great magnitude of a disaster, there is just like you're saying, it's like they're reporting something that's a common everyday occurrence, and the people are desensitized by the
not only the people, but those people. I mean, how could they get on the air and present the persona that they're presenting, which shows that they're not emotionally or mentally affected by what's happened at all in any way, in any manner, unless they're totally desensitized and have no feelings about it whatsoever. Because even if it's their profession, I mean, their emotions have to show through.
Well, it's almost as they were expecting it, or it's an orchestrated event. But, you know, wasn't there allegedly five planes?
Well, listen to me. Don't pay any attention to all these rumors. We've heard that there was five, we've heard that there was six, we've heard that there was seven, we've heard that there was eight.
Okay, but well, only
four planes are accounted for.
This end of the country, we were told that, of course, I haven't had access to the CNN stuff because I don't have cable. It was available to me at work today when I had seen it. But
only four planes have been accounted for, period.
Supposedly, there was a plane on the tarmac at Cleveland Hopkins Airport that the FBI was investigating. They had the people come off and...
They may have investigated it, but it was not a terrorist plane. It was not involved in any attack. I'm sure these things are going on all over the place. Don't listen to rumors.
No, it's just being...
There was four, period.
Yeah.
That's it.
Well... It's something that I dreaded. I knew something would possibly happen in the future just from research that I have done from the past incidents, and I was dreading this day. And my daughter called me. She said, "Dad, what do you make of this?" And I said, "You're getting closer to the implementation. Full tilt boogie of the New World Order in this country."
Yep, that's right.
And like I've been telling the kids, I says, read. I says, I may not be right all the time. I says, but you know, you could read and may find that what you're reading is wrong, but you're not going to find that out until you read something else and documented things and so on and so forth. And they're starting to think a little bit about this, and it's a shame that you can't let children be children. But I want them to be aware,
mm-hmm.
because when I'm gone...
The future belongs to them.
Yes, correct.
Therefore, they must know what their future is going to be.
You know, and some of these guys at work and the women, they think I was nuts when I started talking to them about this stuff. And a couple of them came into my department where I was at, and they had a couple of them had a funny look on their face, and they said, "You know what, Tony? You know, you must have known something because, you know, what happened?" And I said, "Well, I gave you information to read. I told you what to look for. You know, I don't know everything. I don't know nothing really, but I feel like I know more than the average guy out there, and I feel that's a shame. You know, I was coming home the other day, walking my son home from school. I had a day off." We ran into a couple kids from another school on the other side of the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
A Japanese motorcycle went up a street with a real sharp, ear-piercing exhaust. I put my finger in my ears, and I looked down at one of the kids, and I said, "Boy," I said, "that thing will hurt your ears." And he says, "Oh," he says, "you must be one of them Harley riders." And I said, "Yeah, you know, I have one." He saw he said, "You ride an American bike, huh?" And, I said, "Yeah." I said, "Actually, mine's an older one." I said, "It doesn't have all the foreign stuff like the new ones do." He said, "Well," he says, "America?" I said, "Yeah, America." I said, "You're an American. I'm an American. It don't make any difference what color you are. We're all Americans." And he looked at me real funny and puzzled. Now, by this time, four of his buddies were walking up the street and leaving him there with me as I had stopped in front of our house and continued our conversation. And he looked at me and said, "Well, that's from California." I said, "California is in America." And he looked at me and said, "Really?" I said, "Yes." At that, he looked at me, he said, "Thanks, mister," and he ran up the street, and he's telling his buddies, he said, "I just learned something. That man back there told me we's Americans." And my son's 10 years old, he looked at me, he shook his head. And I couldn't believe it. Now, this young boy looked to be about 14, 15 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And in all sincerity, he didn't know he lived in America. And it was beyond sad, it was pathetic. And I could not believe this. I just, you know, and this is what our children, well, not mine anyway, but a lot of them out there have no perception of where they live.
Yeah, that's true. Unfortunately, that's true. It's like somebody comes up to me and says, You know, I'm an African American, or I'm a Polish American, or I'm an Irish American. And I say, fine, go back to Africa, go back to Poland, go back to Ireland. Because in my eyes, you're either an American who came or whose ancestors came from those places, but it's an absolute impossibility to be an African American, an Irish American, or a Polish American. You're either an American, or as far as I'm concerned, you're a subversive son of a bitch, and get out of my way.
Correct. I know I stopped on the way home, got a couple packs of cigarettes, and I talked to a black fellow that needed a light. So I gave him a light, and he looked at me, shook his head. He said, well, man, he said, what do you think? And I said, I'll tell you what I think. And we stood there for about a half an hour, and I told him. And I touched on the same subject that you just mentioned. Now, my grandfather came over here from Hungary in 1889. He knew what was going on over there in the old country.
Mm-hmm.
And he wanted his family to be free. And he came here to this country, settled in Cleveland in a neighborhood that was predominantly Hungarian descent.
And the most important thing to him was to eventually be accepted as an American.
Exactly. You know,
now there's people in this country, they don't want to be an American. They want to separate themselves and be a Polish American, or an Irish American, or a Russian American, or an African American. And it's all baloney.
People would ask him when they heard his accent, and they said, John, what are you, Hungarian? He says, no, I'm an American.
Good.
I'm an American. I come here from Hungary, I bring my family here, and I raise them here. I'm an American citizen.
Good for him.
And, I would
have
the Hegelian dialectic, divide and conquer.
Yep, I would have liked him a lot.
Well, he worked till he was 74 years old, so the company found out how old he was, and they said, John, you got to retire. So what am I going to do now?
I can guarantee you I would have liked him an awful lot.
He passed on when he was 86, and he had a stroke while he was shaving, and, you know, my uncles are all in the military, and my kid brothers are still are, and you know, we have it's amazing that some of the people in this country, and I'm directing all this to the people that are listening in this country that have ancestors that go way back in this country before my ancestors were here, who have, or so they say, more of a claim here than I do, but they don't have an inkling of what it's like to want that freedom and to taste it. Like my grandfather did, like my father, and like I do. And by God, I'm not getting hauled off to no internment camp, and they're not taking my house, and they're not taking me, because I know what's in store. And I'm not going. My father didn't go.